Welcome back. Get fired up. If Annette didn't fire you up about the new opportunity that you have for family entertainment, I believe our next guest will. This gentleman is, his name is Ronald Weiland. He's been a minister in the Church of God for 25 years. He's traveled extensively speaking to congregations all across the United States, Canada, Europe, and Australia. And to this day, his live sermons are broadcast on the internet. He is what is termed an end-time prophet of the God of Abraham. His many books have been read in more than 160 countries. His latest book is 2008, God's Final Witness. And what we want to talk about today is the aspects, as we all know about the very crucial time out here in our universe there. In the past 3 years alone, our world has experienced devastating natural disasters. We see that. We see the tsunami. We've seen the devastation that's going on across this world. A rise in terrorism. The reports coming across our radios every day. And the declining economies. All of those aspects. Nations are falling apart in the face of this massive instability and unrest among the citizens. The question that we're going to have for our guest today, are these just random events, or is there a much larger force and a plan at work that forcing these issues? We go to our phone lines. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
And tell us, we've gone a little bit about your background, but tell our listeners a little bit more extensively about your background and how you got involved, your belief system, and what prepared you to be what you term as an end-time prophet.
Well, I've been a minister since 1981, and through that period of time, just served in different churches here in the U.S. But in 1994, the church went through a difficult time and split up, and we believe that was a prophesied apostasy in the Bible. Since that time, there have been a lot of things that have transpired where God has been beginning to work with me more directly and revealing things in the Scriptures to me. And that's why I've written two books. So the Prophesied End Time was the first one, and now this one here, 2008, God's Final Witness. And we have a message, and we're trying to get it out to everyone to help them to understand what's taking place and what's coming and why. And that's why we offer these books free on the Internet. So it's something we're definitely deeply focused on.
Now, a lot of people are called to the ministry, and they feel that they have that calling with God. Your involvement seems to be a little deeper there. As you said, that God has talked to you about some of these events there. Could you expand upon that so that we can get a better understanding of your involvement, the rationale behind this?
Well, I'm not sure how to exactly answer that, except that there's a way that God has worked with prophets through time, and society today isn't really accustomed to having prophets. Neither were we in the church until this period of time happened, and I really so disliked even the term that I resisted it for a time, but it was something I had to focus upon because there are prophecies in the book of Revelation that were given to John, but John was never given understanding of what those were, and that's what God began to reveal to me, and it became very clear. It's something that's done through inspiration. It's not something done through conversation or something like that. God works through inspiration, through something he just gives in the mind, and makes those things clear in Scripture. It's just like a light going on. It's just there, and that's the only way I can really explain it. And there are awesome events taking place since 2008. That's the beginning of what we call the final end time, and it started toward the fall of 2008, and it's continuing on. And candidly, in this country here, and even in different parts of the world, but especially in this country, people are becoming more lethargic, burying their head in the sand, and it's a trend that's taken place since 2008. People want the stock market to do well again. They think that everything's going to get better, and the reality is it really isn't. It's getting worse. I just read an article here a moment ago about George Soros saying that what's happening in Europe is far, far worse than 2008, what happened here in the States. And it's just a matter of time, and dominoes are going to fall, because today it's a global economy. Everything's tied together, and you can't separate it.
Now, when you talk about, and I said, your message said that you predicted the collapse of the U.S. economy and some natural disasters. Could you tell us about some of those things that you predicted? And I guess the first thought is, when you receive this revelation, for lack of a better term, how does that come to you? Is that, Casey used to, the sleeping prophet, used to lay down and get that, and then out of almost the sleep-like trance that he was in, he would communicate what was, you know, his messages. What form does your prophecy take? Has it involved the revelation of these events that are occurring?
Well, first of all, it covers a period of time where God doesn't just reveal everything all at once. There are things that are revealed through a process of time. A lot of that began back in 1999, into that period of time, when there was a big hoopla about the year 2000 coming and Y2K and the scare that was there. And at that point in time, that was the first experience I'd had in the sense of something that was given to me. And it was just before that, and I wrote about it, that it's not going, nothing's going to happen. Things are going to continue on. This doesn't fit into prophecy. And then later in 2001, we had 9/11, and that really began a tide of things beginning to take place. And those events were actually prophetic as a type of what's coming and what's going to happen to this country. An attempt to strike at the Pentagon, the military, that which had to do with Wall Street, and those things they are a part of what's coming to pass, what's taking place. They're a type of something that's going to happen later on here in this year.
Did you have a precognitive image of what was going to transpire on 9/11?
No. Just an understanding of what the events were afterward.
Okay. How does that involve? I'm sure, like, you probably had a normal, for lack of a better term, a normal childhood like the rest of us. What stage in your life, or where were you when things seemed to change and you became more in tune to messages that were coming to you?
Well, again, it's just through a process of time. Like I said, 2001, and then as things went on, I wrote the first book, The Prophesied End Time, and we began to distribute that. God continued to give more. There was a process of time where we did some traveling in certain areas that felt were a part of this. We actually went to the Isle of Patmos, which is where John was given the revelations. And from that point forward, God began to reveal more and more. And it's just, again, a matter of inspiration to understand Scripture. It's not something that's done in sleep. It's not something that's done through voices. It's something that's done just given in the mind to see and to understand something. It's illuminated. It becomes clear. And its meaning becomes clear. I don't know how else to explain it, but
what were some of the things that you predicted?
Well, especially before 2008, we began to focus very heavily upon natural disasters beginning in around 2005, 2006, began to focus upon that thing, warned people about what was coming. We still didn't know at that point the exact timing of events and what was going to transpire, but knew that 2008 was a focal point in the sense of timing here. And we began to warn about a global depression. We began to warn about a collapse, and a collapse in the things that were taking place in this in the world here. And sure enough, that's exactly what finally came there then in 2008. And natural disasters have just been a part of it, except that they're intensifying. These things have always happened. There have always been earthquakes. There have always been tsunamis. There have always been natural disasters. But they're increasing right now, and they're escalating. And that's where we are. They're going to escalate a whole lot more here in the next few months. And that's what we're trying to warn people about, why it's happening. And it's because God is allowing certain things to come upon this world, and they're leading up to May the 27th of this year. And that's when it's all going to change. It's all going to end. We're actually going to enter into a third world war, we believe deeply. And that's why we're trying to get this message out, to help people understand it. We can't prevent it. We can only strive to understand it and deal with it and understand what's behind it with a hope and a desire for what's coming.
How do you answer the cynic, the skeptic who comes to you and say, well, almost categorically, you can use generalities and say there's going to be natural disasters. You can say, and a lot of people say, it really didn't take a prophet to see that the financial scenarios that were playing out in some European theaters over there that would foreshadow an economic collapse, especially in those nations there. How do you address the issue when they say it's generalities? Can you have a specific instance or something like that? Have you come up with anything concrete to answer those questions?
I really can't, because human nature, we have so many, there's so many churches in the world, so many people who call themselves prophets, so many things that are written. I understand the skepticism. I understand the disbelief, and my job isn't really to try to prove it to anyone. My job is just to tell people about it. That's what a job of a prophet is. And there are people who try to tear apart different things that I've said at different times, and we've tried to help people understand what's happening as it happens. But the reality is nothing's changing. The time is still in front of us, and we are headed for a nuclear war in this world. We've been talking about a rise in 10 nations in Europe since the 1950s, the church has, and now we're very close to it. They're actually going to come together at a point in time here where it's prophesied that there are actually 10 nations going to come out of this European system, that they're being forced into a corner right now. And we're actually seeing it come to pass. We're seeing different nations, Germany at the helm of all this, which has always been the case. And they're the ones that are going to help form this combine of nations, a federal Europe, if you will, a United States of Europe. And that's been taught for over 50 years, but we've really focused on that in the last few years. And sure enough, right now in the news, that's what they're talking about. And it's just getting closer and closer to it. We're coming to a point in time where Europe's going to do some things as far as to save their hide financially. And because of that, it's going to lead into a third world war. And that's when China and Russia, they're prophesied to come together and be another force in the world. And it's going to be a horrifying thing. It's going to be a quick thing. It's going to be a massive thing. And yet it has to happen.
We're talking to Ronald Wineland. He's talking to a prophet of end times. And they are very close there, he's saying. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll delve into several more areas, things that you need to listen to when we return here on Straight Talk.
Radio 1240 WCEM AM. Welcome back to Straight Talk with your host, former Cambridge, Maryland Mayor Cleveland Rippon.
Yes, we're back here, our second hour, and this time we're talking with Ronald Wineland. He is a minister in the Church of God for 25 years, and he is an end-time prophet of the God of Abraham. Now, in the books there, what's the imperative message? If you have one message that you want to relate to our listeners today, what would that message be? I know you talked about, you know, there's an escalation, and all of this has been predicted, but what, if you were sermonizing, for lack of a better term, what would you tell our listeners today, the importance of listening to your words?
Well, it's to understand what happens when it does occur so that people have hope and encouragement of what's behind it, because at a time that's coming, the earth has never seen what's going to take place because a nuclear war is a horrifying thing. And there's going to be incredible devastation, but behind that is good news, and that's the message of the Bible. The message has always been one of good news, and it's in the Old Testament. It refers to a Messiah that's coming, a government that God's going to establish. In the New Testament, it's the same word, Christ, that's going to come to intervene in world affairs, to stop mankind. The whole message of the Bible leads up to a point in time in Revelation that God's going to have to intervene to prevent mankind from literally destroying himself, annihilating himself. If God allowed time to continue on with a nuclear war, we have the ability in the world to destroy it many times over. And the reality is, with despots, with world leaders, when it comes down to a point of losing, they will use everything in their arsenal not to lose. And that's the insanity of the world we live in today. And the reality is, it would destroy everything. So God's going to intervene, but that's when Jesus Christ returns a second time. It's just like what happened with the Jewish people in the time of his first coming. They didn't understand that he was coming to fulfill God's plan to be a Passover lamb, to die for the sins of mankind so that we could have sins forgiven, and that he's coming back a second time. That's what he told Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this age. It's not of this time. It's not of this world. It's to come. And we're at that point in time now. God gave 6,000 years to mankind. We're at the very end of that. And this is when Jesus Christ comes now this time to rule and to reign, because the reality is man has proven, and that's a part of the witness through time, man cannot govern himself. We cannot give peace to Afghanistan. We can't give it to Iraq. We can't give it to Vietnam. We can't give it to anyone. We have our own great problems to solve here. And man just can't rule himself, and man continually goes into war in time to straighten things out. That's what the world is talking about now, in order to resolve some of the problems in a global economy. They're literally talking about in China and Russia going to war, World War III. Other countries are talking about it right now. They want this in order to resolve what they consider to be their problems, and we're not a whole lot different in some cases. And so the main message, I guess I would say, is that there is good news behind this very quickly here, that Jesus Christ is going to intervene that God is going to stop this nonsense and bring it to an end. And that's the hope we have, and that's always been the hope that God gave in the Scriptures.
Right. Now, before we expand upon that, let's go. You talked right before the break about the escalation, the 10 nations in the European theater there, and you make a statement. How do you explain that the European Union will rise as the last revival of the Holy Roman Empire? We've seen the aspects of what happened there, but how do you make that correlation and then the attempt that the European Union will rise as the last revival?
Yes, in the Scripture, there are seven revivals of the what is classified as the Holy Roman Empire. It had a resurrection under Napoleon. It had a resurrection under Hitler and Mussolini. That one was actually the sixth. The seventh one is the last one. This is the last one. And it's very descriptive of what's going to take place. This is the last revival. That's how, in Scripture, if you understand various nations, who they are in the Bible, and understand some of the religious aspects of what has led up to this point in time, it is the very thing that has happened over and over again in Europe. And this time, it's happening in a different manner. It's not through a despot like Hitler. It's through an act of preservation. They're trying to preserve the euro. They're trying to formulate, bring together countries that can survive a global economic crash. And yet that's the very thing that's pushing them in the corner. They're actually talking about certain nations now that are going to break away, that are going to set up. The others will be on the outside. They may be able to be a part of the euro, but they have to have some kind of central government. That's their weakness right now. They don't have that. And so there's so many things happening in the news today, and that people are totally unaware of what's happening in the world. We focus inward. News on the radio, on TV anymore. I can't hardly stand to watch some of the programs anymore because it's about personalities and it's about trivial things. And you actually have to go into European news or other news in the world to try to find out what on earth is happening in other parts of the world. Just like how many people are listening right now and understanding what's taking place with our sending American troops into Israel. People have no idea we're sending them in there by the droves right now. This is in the news, but you can't find it here in the States. They don't understand what's happening in Syria and the threatening that Russia is doing right now and giving them weapons there and telling that if anyone intervenes there or has anything to do with a no-fly zone like they did in Libya, that it's going to be war. People don't understand. The world's on the edge right now. And
Iterate that. How close do you think we are to the brink, and what do you foresee in the prophecies and everything, and the visions or whatever that you sustain? How close do you think we are, and are we going to reach that brink to go over that edge, in your opinion?
I for the last 3.5 years since 2008, because that was the beginning point. It's a period of time that had to last a full 3.5 years. It started in the fall of 2008. It ends in the end of May 2012 here, that's the day that Christ returns. That's an amazing thing to understand, that why are there so many things going on out here where people are looking at different dates in 2012 all of a sudden in the last 2 years? It's out there. And they don't understand an incredible story throughout the Bible that there's 6,000 years and there's a world that understands that. There is a power that exists, a spirit world that understands that's the end for them. Satan is a live being. He is an angelic being that sinned against God. He's been on this earth, and he has moved and motivated those deceptions in the world, the Mayan calendar, all these things that are out there, because he knows that this year is the end of his time. God said he's no longer going to be able to rule and reign and have power on the earth after May. So there are all kinds of incredible things out here happening, and again, I can only talk about them. People hate the message a lot of times here, but it's going to come to pass. And the timing, God hasn't shown the exact timing. He's told certain events that have to take place, and they have to be fully fulfilled before May the 27th. And within that last 2 to 3 weeks, there's going to be incredible devastation on the earth, because, again, nuclear war doesn't have to last very long. But God does have to intervene to step in to stop it. That's what Armageddon is all about in the Bible. God has to intervene to stop it so that people won't destroy themselves.
So you have come up and formatted that Jesus will return on May 27th of this year.
Yes.
Now, a question that I have, you know, in the Bible, you know, you recite Bible assertions coming in from Revelation, you know, of course, from John's Revelation. But my understanding, does not the Bible also teach a sector where it is no one can categorically know the date that he will return? No one has knowledge of that factor. God will not release that knowledge. It's beyond the scope of man to understand God's will. So how do we pinpoint with this pure accuracy that you have that May 27th?
That is very true. That's what it said. That Jesus Christ even said that. He said, no man knows the day or the hour, because people have always wanted to know. The disciples wanted to know, when are you going to come in your kingdom? Daniel wrote the book of Daniel there, and at the end of it, he has all these prophecies there, even about Christ's return and so forth, and the timing of events. And God told him to shut up the book. It wasn't for his time. Jesus Christ basically said the same thing to the disciples. He says, no one knows the day or the hour. He says, but my Father only. But God has always given a promise through time to the nations of Israel in the beginning and to others through time, that before he would do anything and before anything massive happened to this world, he would always send a prophet to tell them what was happening and when it was going to happen. And that's why it's happening now. It wasn't for the time of Christ. That's why Christ said to Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this age, but we are approaching that time, and God has sent a prophet. There are two that are prophesied in Revelation to come at the end time. There are two witnesses who are to do a job over 3.5 years at the end time. I am one of those witnesses. People mock and make fun of that, but I can't help that. Reality is reality, and by the time May 27th gets here, it will all be over with. It doesn't matter what people think or say, it's going to happen, it's going to take place, and everything is moving very rapidly toward it, and the global economy is the key factor to the timing in all this. When we crumble, when things begin to crumble, when the dollar begins to fall, when we get to a point where we can no longer just continue to print money like we're doing, because the desire now actually is that there is inflation, the government wants inflation, and it's insanity. But at some point here, it cracks because it can no longer hold up under the weight any longer. The entire system collapses. And it's because of that the world is forced into a war. That's the only thing that they believe that can get them out of this.
We talked about the revelations of John, and now we're hearing the revelations from Ron. We're going to talk about those and maybe some misconceptions that are out there. We'll do that when we return here on Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk with your host, former Cambridge, Maryland Mayor Cleveland Rippins.
Yes, we're talking this hour with Ronald Wineland, and he is a minister in the Church of God and also an end-time prophet of the God of Abraham. He just made a revelation right before we went on break there that on May 27th of this year will be the second coming of Jesus. And I guess even during over the break, I've been trying to rationalize that, Ron. And it's just hard for me with my biblical training, which stipulates to the point that no man would know. And even though you, by your own admission, you're a self-ascribed prophet, one of two that are going to be doing that, I still don't know how that, in essence, circumvents the logic and our learning from the Bible that said no man will know the mysteries of God.
Well, it doesn't say the mysteries of God. It just talks about the timing, because that's what the disciples asked Christ, what the timing was, and he said, no man knows the day or the hour, but my Father only. It wasn't time yet. It wasn't time for that to be given, just like it wasn't time for Daniel to be given those truths yet. But it is time now. We're at the end of 6,000 years. And as I mentioned, God said in Amos that he would give those things to his prophets, the servants, to give to his people. And that's where we are, and that's what my job is. It's just one of those things that I understand it's hard because of what people have been taught and trained and from different religious beliefs and so forth out here. And that's part of the problem. The world has been in such confusion with religion. There's one God. There's one great God of the universe. Always has been. And yet, look at all the religions. That's why when the book has been written here, God has given me the responsibility here of saying that I am an end-time prophet of the God of Abraham, because that involves a lot more people. It involves people who are of the Islamic belief. It involves people who are of Judaism. It involves people of traditional Christianity. And the reality is that these things are coming to pass, so much of which I really can't fully get into here today. That's why we offer these books free on our website, which I'll give a plug for that. It's the bookstore-end.com, where people can get the book for free and read for themselves. But there's such confusion in the world. When Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, he condemned the Jews because of what they were doing. They weren't following God. The world is no different to this day. People feel they are, and as a whole, a lot of people have very good motives and desires, and they're sincere about what they do. But the reality is, quoting a minister in God's church in times past, they're sincerely wrong. And that's the problem with the world today. The world is upside down when it comes to religion. There are thousands of beliefs. How can there be one God and thousands of beliefs? Only one can be true. Only one way of life can be true. And that's why people hate sometimes the message and hate something that comes along and contradicts something that they believe, such as no man knows the day or the hour. And, you know, candidly, from the very beginning, put everything on the line on this, because I would far rather, if something didn't come to pass like this, I would far rather have done my job in telling people and warning people so they would understand and so that they would have hope of what's at the end of this. And then if it doesn't happen, then people won't have to worry. But I'll tell you what, if it comes to pass, which I believe with all my being, people need to worry. But people just really don't worry too much until things get really bad. They started to worry in 2008 when their 401ks and different things began to fall apart, and they started talking about being 101k. But it's going to come again. It's right around the corner here, and it's going to be a horrible, horrible experience for people.
From a pragmatic aspect, we've had self-proclaimed prophets, Koresh, and I can go through an entire litany,
sure,
who,
yep,
have predicted end times. This is going to happen. Somebody listening to your voice or picking up your book there or listening to one of your sermons, I guess the reality is, how do you differentiate yourself from all of these other ones? You know, how do we know that you said that the book of Amos, there's going to be two prophets for these end times, you're one of them. How does somebody listening out there, you have to understand the great deal, the tremendous level of skepticism when so many, for lack of a better term, false prophets have preceded, have made their statements of the end times are here, it's going to be on this day, and it's never came to fruition. What significance in your life, your aspect, I mean, you're a gentleman, and I guess you had a normal lifestyle. How do you get to the point that you're one of only two and can come up specifically with that end time date?
Well, to be candid with you, I know that people aren't going to listen. That's been the message for 6,000 years. Mankind, really, they can't. And it's because of the confusion that's out there. It's because of the world we live in. And that's why we're coming to this point in time. God's desire is to change this world, to save this world. There's an incredible plan, a 7,000-year plan God has to save mankind. People don't know what that plan is as a whole. And the reality is, people aren't going to be listening to this. They haven't been listening for the last 3.5 years or even with the first book. Only a few have, and I understand that. The point of all this is that when things do happen, that they have a hope of coming through this, because the reality is a lot of people give up when there are disasters and different things that take place on this earth and tremendous suffering. But if they know that in a very short time, by May the 27th, God's going to intervene and it's all going to be over, I can guarantee you they're going to hold on to that with all their being.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there that, given the track record of so many prophets, self-proclaimed, making statement after statement, date after date, and still we exist here, as humankind. And I guess somebody, the question has to be, an imperative question is, what separates you from everybody else, and why should they follow your belief system? And
well, they're not
signifying that 27.
I understand that they're not following my belief system. People aren't listening to what's written in the books. We've sent out hundreds of thousands of these, and people aren't swarming in to hear more, to learn more, to holding on to the hope of what's coming yet. That's the way mankind has always been. Until he's in a foxhole, then he promises God everything. But right now, people want things to go on. They believe that things are going to come back. I mean, after all, isn't our history been every time we've had something bad happen, we bounced past it. We've come through it. We've survived it. And I understand that. that's why I understand my job is a frustrating one, because people aren't listening, and I know why. But at least when things do happen, they will begin to change, and they will have hope of what's coming.
With the devastating effects that we see economically across the relegated to America, but we see the global considerations that are the natural disasters and everything. The ray of hope that you offer, tell us what happens on that day, on May 27th, that ray of hope, that optimism that you bring to the table, to saying that's what we have to look forward to. We, you know, have to withstand these last days of the turmoil that's going out there. But tell to us,
okay, well,
what's going to happen on that
day. What happens first is the United States is the first to fall. That's a hard thing for people to swallow, but the reality is the United States will be the first to fall, and there will be certain things that happen that, as I said earlier, 9/11 was a type of what's coming, where our government will be struck, the military will have a blow taken to it, and the economy is going to have a major blow taken to it. There is going to be incredible suffering. You know, Katrina was horrifying, what happened down there. That's so small compared to what's going to happen in some port cities in this country. And when that happens, when that takes place, it's going to so cripple us. We have not experienced nuclear weapons going off. Japan did a long time ago. We haven't. When that happens to us, it can't even begin to describe what's going to follow from that. And the transportation that stops, what are people going to do with groceries? In 3 days after a natural disaster, people don't have any stockpile of food. We try to encourage people to do what even the government agencies tell you to do, stockpile a month or so, a few weeks of food if you can, to come through some of these things, because the reality is when the trucks stop running on the highways, when the fuel can't get to the gas stations, everything comes to a screeching halt. We are going down as a nation. Europe rises. Also, China and Russia arise, and it's going to be, it says in prophecy that China and Russia alone are going to destroy a third of all mankind. That doesn't take but one day to do it with the nuclear weapons that we have, that they have. They have the power to destroy the Earth several times over, let alone in what they're going to do by the small amount they do release. When those things take place, you're going to want hope that Jesus Christ is coming back, that God is coming, and that's the good news. And God's going to straighten out this world and stop man from destroying himself.
I question you, signify and delineate China and Russia. Where in biblical teachings on the text there are those two nations specifically outlined? You know, you keep referring back to China and Russia, you know, the devastation.
Yes.
They're going to bring a third of mankind down.
It's just like
I don't remember reading those.
It has to do with Gog and Magog in the scriptures. They consist of those particular areas of the world. It's just like how we understand and have known that Germany is going to be at the helm at the 7th revival of the Holy Roman Empire, just like they were during World War II and at different times throughout time. It's because they're the ancient Assyrian people. People don't know migrations of people. They don't even know who we are in this country. We're, you know, the first time in the Bible that it talks about the Jew or the Jews, it says that Israel was at war with the Jews. Now, today that doesn't make any sense with people, because how could Israel be at war with the Jews when the Jewish people are Israel? It's because there were several other nations in the beginning. There were 10 nations, and they were taken captive by the Assyrian Germanic people up into Europe. They migrated through time. They became known as the Lost 10 Tribes. And the reason they were taken captive is because they quit obeying God. They changed the holy days into holidays, and they begin observing times that God said they shouldn't observe. So God took them captive into Europe. They finally migrated. We are one of the tribes of Israel. Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. That's why we have such an affinity for each other. We are brothers, literally, of descendants of part of the nations of Israel. God said that when he came back, that when Jesus Christ came back, he was going to take over a throne that would exist till he came back. And that throne happens to be in Great Britain today. Those people today who rule and have reigned through time are Jewish. They're not British. And people hate these things, but that's a reality of time. That's how we know different nations in the Bible, because the people migrated to different regions. They're still the same people. And so that's how the Bible comes alive, when you understand who they are.
So you take a little literal translation, even Armageddon. It's going to be based down in the plains of Megiddo.
Basically, you're talking about some of the same places that are a hot spot today, Iran, Iraq, all the way through there, all the way down to Israel. All that region there is in turmoil now, and it's going to become the focal point of the final end of the war here. Because what happens when you have Europe and China and Russia who are vying for power? They literally come to a point where they're vying for power. People think, well, now how can they vie for power because they don't have any military? They have a lot of nuclear weapons on their soil, and it's in the form of NATO, and it doesn't take much for them to have great power overnight. And the reality is, when they have a few nuclear weapons go off against each other, they don't want to destroy the Earth. They know what will happen. They literally come together in a massive confrontation in that region of the world, and that's when God has to intervene. And that's what the Bible shows.
We're talking this morning with Ronald Weinman. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get his final thoughts on this day. Put that in your books, May 27, 2012. We'll talk about aspects of Revelation and other things when we return here on Straight Talk.
Radio 1240, WCEM-AM.
Yes, we're talking this hour with End Time Prophet Ronald Weinland. And our producer, Ron, has asked us specifically what will happen on May 27th.
Wow. May 27th is a day that God intervenes to stop what's taking place. He said he's going to destroy those who are destroying the earth. Before that period of time, before that actual date, everything that happens, man is doing to himself. Man is destroying himself. God intervenes to stop it. And on that one day, he is going to begin destroying the governments, different things having to do with the people, the militaries of China, Russia, and Europe who are destroying the earth. And it's going to be a massive day of destruction in itself, but that is the day that Jesus Christ returns to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what's prophesied in the Bible. And, you know, people get so upset about things, about, you know, different scriptures, different things like no man knows the day or the hour. People get all worked up. But, you know, they don't have long to wait. You know, how would you like to have this job of telling people what's coming to pass, realizing that it's different from mainstream Christianity, traditional Christianity? You give a date of something where nothing seems to be happening as far as military is concerned yet, and yet it's something that's going to happen so quickly that they really don't have long to wait. That, you know, if it doesn't happen, then there's going to be a whole lot more mocking than I'm already receiving right now. But
that's a logical next question. What happens if he doesn't come back on that day?
Well, then, you know, I won't have a job to do in that regard anymore. It'll come to prove that it wasn't true, that my job as a prophet wasn't true in the sense of the timing and everything else that's involved there. You know, that's what it is. But, you know, I don't believe that with any of my being. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we put the finances, the expense into what we're doing, of getting these books out free to people to advertise like we're doing, because there's a message to get out there to warn people so that they can be prepared when they know what's happening. They'll fight to kick through it. They won't give up.
And the other aspect that we hear in Revelation, the seven trumpets of the seventh seal and then the seven thunders, that is outlined in the book of Revelation. How do you interpret those, and what's going to occur to correlate those aspects?
Well, the trumpets have to do with specific events. That the first trumpet that was blown already, going back to November 2008, when that first trumpet blew, that's when the matters of the economy in the United States and the things hit the hardest. They started in September, but they really hit in a very massive way at that point in time as far as the tide that has been set. And the results of that are still going on, and it hasn't finalized yet. It's an ongoing process. And the second trumpet hasn't sounded yet. The second, third, and fourth have to do with the demise of the United States, with what's going to happen to the United States. The fifth trumpet has to do with when Europe arises, and they come together as 10 nations and do the things that they're going to do. The sixth trumpet has to do with Russia and China and their response to Europe, because when everything falls apart, people are going to try to stake their claim of what they want, and they're going to try to take control of it. And then the seventh trumpet is when God returns and stops this from continuing on any longer, because if it were to go on any longer,
there is someone out there who would push the button and it would all be over with for humanity. And God's not going to allow that to his creation.
And now, do you think there's any correlation between so many aspects? And I mean, we see so many movies who reflect upon the end times, it's coming there and everything, movies coming out. 2012 is going to be that seminal year, you know, whether you believe in a Mayan calendar, which takes it later in the year. What's your interpretation or what's your statement about all of these differences that Hollywood is portraying and so many news media factors are picking up on?
Well, it seems that there are people out there who more and more they grasp that something isn't right in the world. We hear this a lot. There are people who just they realize that something isn't right. There's just a sense. And man is kind of fascinated with that more now than ever before. And that's not by coincidence. It's not by chance either. It's something that God is actually preparing people for in this world, because the reality is when these things begin to happen, it's going to be easier for people to make the changes, to humble themselves, to begin to receive what God has for them. And so it's all part of a process here of what's taking place. And it's an incredible time in which we live in. These things are coming to pass, and they're right in front of us.
Ron, we've relegated you to a lot of questions this morning. At this time, we got a couple minutes left on the show, and I'd like to open up, give you your free time to talk to our listeners directly about your conviction of this date and what's going to happen, your personal message to our listeners at this time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here today. My message would be that if people want to find out more about it, again, they go to the website, the-end.com. And they can read the books online, they can download them online in several different languages, it's all there. It's all there telling what's going to come to pass, what's happening as it happens. And the point, again, of all this is that don't expect people to believe it, but at the other end of this, when it does happen, they'll have something to hold on to, because so often in times of such conflict, especially with what's coming, people just give up. And this isn't the time to give up. This is the time to fight, to keep going forward.
Well, Ron, we want to thank you for that message there. We want to thank you for being on the show there. Continued success there. And maybe perhaps one day around that May 27th date, we'll either get back to you or perhaps call you after that if we're all here, depending on the situation. Again, thank you for being with us.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
And listeners, there you have it. May 27th, 2012, just over 4 months away. It should be the culmination of everything. All of the aspects that you've read in Revelations occurring to our last guest, it's going to come. I guess that's why we have that disclaimer at the beginning of the show that opinions expressed by the host or guest may not be